From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The New World screwworm is back in Florida. An infestation that began back in September has killed hundreds of the endangered key deer. The flesh-eating larva of the screwworm had been confined to the islands, but now a dog on Florida's mainland has succumbed to the pest. The USDA is releasing millions of sterile screwworm flies in the hopes of stopping their spread. We'll talk with scientists from the USDA and with a reporter on the Keys who's been following the story from the beginning. Also, in the first half of our show, more than 80 false killer whales have died off the coast of southwest Florida in Monroe County after nearly 100 of the dolphin-sized marine mammals stranded themselves along the edge of the Everglades National Park. We'll talk with a marine biologist tracking the event to get the latest. Plus, southwest Florida will see a second government-funded commercial kitchen to help foster culinary creatives into cottage industry entrepreneurs. We'll talk with the director of the Southwest Florida Enterprise Center about what a new $100,000 grant will bring to the table for people wanting to learn more about cooking and making it into a business. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A grant from the city of Fort Myers will kickstart a commercial kitchen, giving local food makers a chance to make and sell their products. More on that story is coming up in the second half of our show. But first, the invasive New World screwworm has killed more than 150 endangered key deer since an outbreak as first confirmed back in September. And earlier this month, an infestation of the fly's flesh-eating larvae was found on a stray dog in Homestead, prompting fears the outbreak of this dangerous fly could spread further into Florida. Joining us now with the latest is USDA veterinarian Rob Dickens, who has been working to track the infestation of this invasive fly and its deadly larva. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me on today.
I appreciate you being here. I know you're very busy. Also joining the show today, reporter Nancy Klingner with WLRN has been following the story from the very beginning. She's seen the impact of this screwworm on the endangered key deer and how people there have been working to combat the problem. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
The invasive New World screwworm has hit Florida's mainland, and that's our topic for today on Gulf Coast Live. Call in with your thoughts and what questions you want answered at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Our first question to Rob from the USDA. We've been tracking this infestation of the screwworm since September. It's gone through the Keys, and now the latest, a dog was found with an infestation of the screwworm in Homestead. What do we know about this dog?
Well, first off, we know the dog is doing well. He's fully healed, and he remains under veterinary supervision at this time.
Okay, so he had screwworm, but he was able to survive. Is it because they caught it, saw it, and were able to clean it up?
Correct. Screwworm is a very treatable situation if caught early and treated by a veterinarian.
Okay, so when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking it's a fly larva, so it's kind of like a maggot?
Exactly. It is a maggot. However, most maggots eat decaying flesh. Screwworm is unique in that it eats the live flesh.
Yeah, so that's where the problem lies. Do they know if the dog came from the Keys or if the screwworms came off the Keys onto the mainland to get to this dog?
We don't know that at this time. We do have a team of epidemiologists that is looking into that, and part of our outreach effort to the public is to try and determine where the dog came from, or if the dog was a local dog.
And from what I'm gathering from news reports, he was a stray?
Well, we can't say that for sure, whether he was a stray or not a stray. He was found by a local resident in the rural Homestead area.
Okay, so he could have been somebody's dog and got out or ran away or something like that. So moving to now, the USDA has been releasing millions of sterile screwworm larvae and flies to combat the infestation. How does that reduce the screwworm population?
Great question. So it's called sterile insect technology, and it's being used currently, and it's been used in the past. In fact, here in Florida in the late 50s and later throughout the rest of the southern United States as part of a successful eradication effort for screwworm. So what we do is we release sterile flies, and the flies breed, and they do not create viable offspring when they breed. and through successive generations, it eliminates the screwworm population, the wild screwworm population.
Okay, so not being a veterinarian or a scientist, I do know, so is it kind of like when you introduce this sterile one, what you're saying is when they do have offspring, it does create larvae, but those larvae then do not continue to reproduce?
Well, it first off, it does not create as many larvae, if it creates larvae at all, and any larvae it creates are non-viable. So it's the important things to note are that the sterile flies mate with wild flies, and that reduces the population of wild flies through successive generations.
How long do the generations take to turn over?
Are you talking about how long does a fly live?
Well, I'm just wondering, because you say that the next generation then is unable to. I mean, are we looking at, I mean, if it's human generations, it's a lot longer than a fly, I would imagine. So,
right. A fly lives about 30 days and can lay several batches of eggs.
So how long do you think something like this would take then to maybe have the impact that you want it to have?
It's really impossible to say. There's a variety of factors that influence how long the eradication effort would take.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was eradicated once before, back in 1959. Apparently, the New World screwworm was eradicated from Florida and all the way down the Gulf of Mexico through Panama back in 59. So how did this, do we know how this came back?
No, we do not know how it came back, and as you pointed out, we had a successful eradication effort previously. In 1959, that occurred here in Florida, and then subsequently throughout the southern United States and later down through Mexico and much of Central America. And we currently hold what we refer to as an invisible barrier to screwworm in Panama. We do not know, however, how screwworm was reintroduced or was introduced again, into the Keys.
Into the Keys. How did we get rid of it the first time?
Well, we got rid of it using the same methods that we're using today, which is the sterile insect technology, which is highly effective and safe for the environment.
Yeah, it's kind of if it's something that worked in 59, it should be able to work again now.
Exactly.
That is the hope, anyway. Is there a chance that the screwworm might have come from Cuba? Because from what we're reading, that fly is kind of endemic over there.
Well, it is endemic over there, but it would be impossible to speculate exactly where it came from. There are quite a few countries throughout the Caribbean in which it is endemic, so we can't really say at this time where it came from.
Mainly islands, I suppose. It keeps it, and you don't really have a tracking collar that would fit on a fly.
Exactly.
I know that you have to go because you're very busy down there, but I want to ask you one last question. Since we know you have to get back out there in the field, what are you doing on the ground, for example, today in Florida?
Yeah, great question. So today we had our second release of sterile flies at several locations around Homestead. We had our first release on Friday. And we're also continuing surveillance for the presence of wild screwworm flies and surveillance for screwworm larvae in wildlife, livestock, and pets. We're also continuing with public outreach, and this includes not only door-to-door visits by our outreach team to private residences, but also site visits to veterinary clinics, animal shelters, pet stores, and other animal-related businesses. And we're also working with public and private agencies and organizations in Deep South Dade County to increase awareness and surveillance. And I did also want to thank you not only for the opportunity today, but I'd like to thank all of those involved in this cooperative effort to eliminate the screwworm threat. But mostly I'd like to thank the public for their support throughout the eradication effort. And public's been extremely helpful, both here in the Keys as well as in the Homestead area. And this kind of support really plays a critical role in the success of this eradication effort.
Yeah, it's just heartbreaking to see, though, so it's pretty easy to understand why people would feel motivated to try to help, you know? But
yes,
the good news was at the beginning when you said that that dog has been able to turn it around and he's doing better. I know it's just one dog, but it seems like once you find it, if you clean it up, that definitely helps in catching it early.
It's right. Very important point that this is a treatable, highly treatable disease if caught early. So, you know, we ask pet owners if they see something to take their animals to their veterinarian or to call one of the numbers that your station can provide. And also we ask people to keep an eye out on their livestock and whatnot. So.
All right. Well, I'll let you get back to work. I know you got a lot to do. Thank you so much, Rob Dickens, for coming in and talking with us. He's a veterinarian working with the USDA in Homestead on the sterile fly release. Thank you again.
Thank you. My pleasure. Bye.
Nancy Klinger from the WLRN Bureau in Key West, you've been tracking this story from the very beginning. We just got the latest on this from the veterinarians that are working with the USDA. Can you take us back to the beginning? When did we first learn about this screwworm and that it got back here to Florida?
Yeah, we learned about it in early October. And what had happened was that a bunch of endangered key deer and a few pets on Big Pine Key, which is in the lower Keys, it's about 30 miles from Key West, had been showing up with these horrible infestations. And some of the local vets and the wildlife biologists realized that this was not just the usual thing you would see on an animal. So they sent off the larvae for testing, and they tested positive as New World screwworm. And as soon as that happened, the Florida Department of Agriculture and the USDA just went into immediate red alert status, because screwworm has been such a horrible scourge to the livestock industry in the past. And they declared an animal quarantine in the Keys. And they brought the guys up from Panama who maintain that sterile fly barrier that the USDA veterinarian was talking about. And they immediately went all out to both combat the flies themselves and to try to treat the key deer.
The invasive New World screwworm has hit Florida's mainland, and that's our topic today on Gulf Coast Live. Give us a call with your thoughts and what questions you'd like to have answered at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook or at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Nancy, I wanted to ask you, the key deer is already endangered. There aren't really a whole
that's
lot
right.
of them. So what kind of an impact has something like this had on them?
Yeah, the population before this happened was estimated at 800 to 1,000, which was actually pretty good. They'd really bounced back from, say, 20 years ago. And so they were feeling pretty good about the key deer population. And then since this started, 133 key deer have either been euthanized or found to have died from screwworm. So, you know, that's a tenth of the population. That's quite a bit. And that's why the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service immediately sent people in from all over the country and took some pretty extraordinary steps to try to keep the herd going.
Like what? What did they do?
They immediately started medicating the deer, where they would put an antiparasitic on pieces of bread and go around, because a lot of the deer are very accustomed to living among people. You know, Big Pine Key is a wildlife refuge, but it's also basically a small town. So a lot of there's an urban part of the deer that tend to wander through neighborhoods, you know, right under people's houses and stuff. And so they went out and they would feed the deer these pieces of bread that had medicine on them to protect them from screwworm, or to treat any that they saw that might be affected. They also set up a bunch of self-medicating stations for the less urban deer that are, you know, a little more shy of people. Mm-hmm. So out in the woods, they set up these boxes that had feed in them, and on the sides of the boxes are rollers that are treated with the medicine. So if the deer leaned down to eat the feed from the box, they would get the medicine applied to their necks. And they set up what they called arcs. These basically big corrals on a couple islands where they could bring in deer as a kind of a last case scenario, worst case scenario. They haven't had to actually make that happen, but they had those ready so that they could have some deer in a very monitored, controlled area that they could make sure that some part of the population survived if it got really bad.
Wow, that's really interesting. They set up arcs.
Yep.
That's kind of sad, but still also very kind of cool that they thought of that. We have a call coming in from Arcadia. Campbell is on the phone. Oh, sorry. I think that he disconnected, so Campbell is not there for us. So I wanted to ask you this, because these are wild animals, it makes it kind of tough to see and know what's going on. Does it affect other animals besides the key deer?
Absolutely. It can affect any warm-blooded animal, including people, although it's extremely rare in people. But it showed
up
in some
pets. Well, because you'd notice it, right? I mean,
right, exactly, exactly.
And then, you know, if you're an animal, you can't really see your back most of the time.
Yeah, so it's showed up on a couple dogs, a pig, a couple cats, and a raccoon in the Keys that we know of. And all kinds of animals have been checked out at the quarantine checkpoint they set up in Key Largo on the way out of the Keys.
All right. Well, it looks like we did get our call. Campbell from Arcadia, what kind of question did you have?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. New World screwworm has huge implications for the livestock industry, particularly the cattle industry, as the flies will lay larvae in the belly button or umbilical cord connection areas on cattle when they're born in the pasture, and we birth about a million or more calves per year in the state of Florida. So this is a huge issue for us, and I'd like to make sure that that's part of the conversation, not just stray dogs and key deer.
Yeah, I think we mentioned something about the implications on livestock, and I think that that's part of the reason they were trying to keep it at least quarantined or keep that invisible wall, like they said.
Right. That's why this is a huge priority for both the USDA and the Florida Department of Agriculture, which, you know, we don't really hear a lot from either of those agencies here in the Keys because we don't have a lot of agriculture here in the Keys. We just don't have that much land. But absolutely, that was, you know, priority one was to eradicate it as quickly as possible and try to keep it from reaching the mainland because they knew right away that the implications were huge. And in fact, the state of Utah now is requiring a permit for any animal coming out of Monroe County into Utah. And if you are traveling with your pet into the state of Georgia, you need a veterinarian certificate showing that that animal does not have screwworm.
Wow. And I know that they did set up a checkpoint along the overseas highway in Key Largo, too.
Yes. So. It's a mandatory checkpoint, although, you know, they're not stop pulling over every single car and, you know, checking to see if there's animals in there. But it's mandatory, like a mandatory hurricane evacuation. And so far, more than 10,000 animals have been checked at that checkpoint. None of them have had screwworm. They've almost all been dogs, but there's also been cats. And it's kind of interesting because you get an idea of what kind of animals people are traveling with in the Keys that you wouldn't expect. So there's been like one peafowl, 8 sea snails.
That's an interesting insight that they gained.
I know.
But you said that they have a more accurate count of key deer somehow because of this too. So how did that happen?
Well, they've just been out there monitoring the herd in a much, much more intensive way than you normally would because of this. They are also putting radio collars on 30 female key deer. That just started yesterday in an effort to monitor them as they head into the fawning season because, as the caller mentioned, when the animals give birth and there's the the umbilical cords and there's possibility for some open wounds, that's a real danger time. So they want to keep a very, very close eye on female key deer during that time.
So at this point, how are things on the Keys as far as the screwworm infestation? Has it gone down?
It's gone way down in the key deer, for sure. There was we went a month between euthanizations between November and December, and the most recent one was January 5th, but it was just one. So it looks like the sterile fly releases are working, but we did just have one on January 5th, so it's obviously still around. The news that they're was a case in Homestead, though, is definitely the most worrisome.
Yeah, you just don't know where that dog came from, if the dog came in from the Keys or if the fly got there.
Yeah, a fly could get in somebody's car, you know. That could happen.
I've had that happen, but maybe not a screw worm fly. All right. Well, I want to leave it there for now. Thanks, Nancy Klingner from WLRN's reporter in Key West for joining us today to give us the latest on the key deer and the screw worm issue. Thank you so much for joining us, Nancy.
Thank you.
Coming up, nearly 100 marine mammals are stranded on the Gulf Coast of the Everglades. More than 80 of the dolphin-sized false killer whales have died. More on that story in just a few minutes. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn.